friend of the pod?
Fionn now is. Oh, because he complimented me.
This is, no.
All correspondence. We appreciate it. We take criticism. It's perfectly fine.
Oh, listen, are you joking me? I'll read out some of the Twitter comments about my anti-Trump stance.
OTB Sports Golf Weekly with Now TV, live every Thursday afternoon on OTB Sports Radio. Tune in 24/7 on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network.
The GAA Podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
Now, you're welcome back. Don't forget, later on, we have two Premier League games for you, including Manchester United against Leeds. That's at Elland Road. Very shortly, we will have Spurs against Leicester. And the pay-per-view is up for podcast, or you can watch it on YouTube. We had Johnny Ward and Tommy Conlon chatting through the Sunday papers, where Billy Joe Paddon, as you can imagine, there are lots of back pages with various plays on the word six. Dublin have done it again, 214 to 15 points, a 5-point winning margin. Give us your overall thoughts on the game.
Well, I think you have to give credit to Dublin first and foremost. I think they were, again, asked questions by Mayo, and they answered them, you know, with complete conviction, complete control. And I think there was the second half performance. Again, it probably shows many of the attributes that this Dublin team has, but it was the game management, the control of the game. And they really were able to keep Mayo at arm's length all the way through that second half. You felt, being there and watching it, that Mayo were going to need goals to win the game, or to maybe create a bit of panic, at least at that stage, to get ahead of Dublin. And it never looked likely. And that's as much to do with their defensive cohesion, you know, and that's a 15-man thing as opposed to any, you know, six defenders. And again, just the clarity of what they were doing in the second half. They held onto the ball when they were down to 14 men. They played the game, a possession-based game. They played the game really slowly, which is they're not really that used to doing, particularly, you know, getting their restarts out quite slowly just to take time off the clock, which was the right thing to do, and again, showed their excellent game management. But it's just really an exceptional performance. And in the second half, all those big players that maybe weren't doing so well in the first half, Kilkenny and Fenton and O'Callaghan, really stood up and really put Mayo under pressure and got the key scores and put Dublin in that driving seat they were able to maintain throughout that half.
I have heard through the grapevine that Dublin have put a big emphasis on defence this year. It's something Desi Farrell has done. Darren Daly, who's retired, has come back in and is doing bits with the defensive team. And as you said, Mayo were always going to need goals to inject a bit of chaos into proceedings and put some doubts in Dublin minds and make the scoreboard look a bit scary from a Dublin perspective. But they, I mean, as you said, they never really looked like breaking Dublin down. A few moments where Aidan O'Shea might catch a ball one-handed but was always under pressure. There was no great method to it. And this is from a team where we have seen, not least in the semi-final, they can score goals, but actually they look like they didn't know how to even begin to break down this Dublin team in any kind of systematic or regular way from a goals point of view.
I think that's fair. I think in the early stages of the game, they were getting some decent ball into Killian O'Connor, and he was operating really well close to goal, and he got a couple of scores. And maybe if they were able to continue to get good ball into him, he was the one dominant Mayo forward, maybe, you know, in terms of a man-on-man battle. He consistently won his battles. Maybe they would have created something there. While as the balls that were going into Aidan O'Shea, he was able to win them, but he was bottled up so quickly that you could see that Dublin had done a lot of work on that and were ready for it. And whereas Mayo weren't able to get any, you know, support players in around him that would have allowed him to get a quick ball, a quick layoff, and maybe create a goal chance, it would have been difficult anyway, considering the amount of Dublin players that were there being physical with O'Shea, you know, ensuring that he couldn't get a good, clean possession of the ball in both hands to get a quick hand pass away, because he's a good hand pass in that regard. Mm. I think as well, if Mayo were going to get goals, sometimes, as we've seen in the past against Dublin and against other teams from Mayo, it has come from that driving out of the half-back line, driving with pace. And a lot of the Mayo midfielders, Ruan and Loftus, were so preoccupied with marking, you know, Fenton and McCarthy, and ensuring that they didn't have, an attacking impact. And then the other key factor was that Lee Keegan and Paddy Durkin, particularly in the first half, were actually asked to do a job in the full-back line, which meant they were just far too far away to have any possible impact in terms of breaking a line coming off the shoulder. And then even in the second half, if you had the idea of letting Paddy Durkin loose maybe up the field because he's dangerous carrying the ball forward, well, with him getting injured, well, obviously that was a big blow to Mayo in terms of maybe being able to create that penetration.
I thought Keegan was forward a bit more, though he obviously had license to get forward, and not least the Mick Fitzsimons moment, which we can come on to in a second, but he was definitely told try and get forward.
He was. And look, I have no doubt that, you know, James Horne was well aware of the facts that if Mayo weren't going to get a goal through a long ball into O'Shea, and that didn't look likely, that the next best option was to create those two or three runners in a pod going up the field playing off the shoulder, and Keegan is one of the best players that can do that. He's history against Dublin, got a great goal against them, I think, in the second half in 17. But it was always going to be more difficult to do that this time around, because you rightly say that Dublin are a better team defensively now. They get more bodies back. They defend the central channel really, really well. They can let you have possession out on the sidelines, but not down the middle. They've really blocked up those spaces this year and are very, very hard to break through that area. So it was always going to be difficult. I think Keegan did exceptionally well to take that hit and be able to carry on. But I think that just goes to show the toughness that he has and the character that he has.
Yeah. What gave Mayo something of a lifeblood for a lot of this game, or a foothold in this game, was the kickouts, actually. Christy O'Connor for the Sunday Times today had the stats. And, you know, in that first half, Mayo, and this is one of the more extraordinary stats from Dublin Mayo games down the year, of the 22 kickouts total in the first half, Mayo won 17 of them. They won all 12 of their own kickouts, and they won 5 Dublin kickouts. Which, you know, nobody pre-game was predicting that. If anything, the kickouts were a source of worry for Mayo going into the game. Now, it turned around, for whatever reason, in the second half, and Dublin really started to get a foothold there. Like, Brian Fenton had 22 possessions in the second half, and he won 3 big kickouts. Howard came on, he had a huge impact, started winning ball. And, you know, that was a big turning point. So, like, for Mayo to do so well in the kickouts in the first half, I think that you have to put that down partly to the number that Horan and his management team did on Dublin. They created overloads, they went long and swarmed, and were getting on top for periods there in a way people hadn't anticipated.
That's right. So I think they can get credit for really good coaching, having a clear idea of what they wanted to do with the kickouts. I think we've watched David Clark for a long time. I actually played with him. He's around that long. But David skills in terms of his kickouts, and he gets criticism at times, and I think more criticism than he deserves. He's very, very good at the real short kickout. He's got confidence. He'll play a soccer side footed pass. He can quickly go from left to right. And when you look at the Mayo defence, you have Chris Barrett, Oisin Mullen, Lee Keegan, or Paddy Durkin in and around there, all really, really good ball carriers. So it's a good option to play that really, really short kickout. What Mayo have struggled with in the years, and what Dublin are excellent at counteracting, is those sort of intermediate kickouts that land on the 45, that maybe hang over a halfback's head when he doesn't have the momentum to come onto it. And you see Fenton or Howard or those players driving forward into that space, creating goal chances. So Mayo limited in the first half their options to the really, really short one, or to a long one in an area to where you rightly pointed out they had an overload, where they at least had maybe a 4-on-4 situation or a 5-on-4 situation. And it was clear, and in my position, standing behind the goals covering for Sky Sports, that David Clark knew exactly, if he was going long, where it was going to go, whether it was going to go like 20 metres in from the Hogan stand or 20 metres in from the Cusick stand. And where I was standing behind the goal, you could see the Mayo players outfield move into that area, readying themselves for the long kick out if that really, really short one wasn't there. But I think the key factor in terms of Mayo getting 12 out of 12 in that early stage is that they were so good on that 50-50 ball. You know, Oisin Mullen won more on Tuxen's kickouts, but Aidan O'Shea won a couple, Jermyn O'Connor won a couple, Loftus won a couple of breaks. And I think the key difference in the second half wasn't so much anything that changed tactically. It was just that physically and mentally and in terms of motivation, Dublin were much more aggressive, much stronger on those 50-50 balls. And that's where Fenton came into his own. And I've no doubt that Desi Farrell probably showed them the clips of what was happening in the first half and said, there's 50-50 ball there for you to win, Brian Fenton, and there's no one better at it. Go and do it, because you haven't been doing it in the first half. And he reacted really well. So I don't think it was so much of a tactical change at halftime. It was just that the Dublin players did much better on the 50-50 stuff.
James Horne was talking afterwards, and the line he used was he felt that Mayo ran out of juice a little bit, and he absolutely pointed to the respective strengths of the two benches. And I mean, it couldn't have been more apparent, could it? The impacts of Howard in particular, and then Mannion kicked a phenomenal score and just was like composed to the nth degree versus, and with the greatest respect to these players, like Darren Cohen came on and had some really bad pot shot efforts, and you know, even James Carr came on for Conroy, and it was a step up for Conroy, who'll get better with time. But like, mm-hmm. when Horn and Farrell are looking at their respective benches, it's obvious who has the cards to play and who doesn't. And Mayo did seem to run out of juice a little bit. Like, even you couldn't say, Billy Joe, even like 2 points down at half time, the black card to, you know, advantage for those opening 10 minutes of the second half, or even when they leveled it on 50 minutes. Like, on paper, that looks like, geez, this is really on here. Like, this is, they're in this. It just didn't feel that way. It always felt like the last 10 minutes were going to go Dublin's way.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I suppose a lot of people will point to that period after halftime when you had the extra man. It's what, you know, could you have done anything differently there? It was probably a bit surprising to me that Keith Higgins didn't feature. Now, look, I can understand. James Horn has more knowledge than any of us. He knows who's going well in training. Mm. I did expect that Cohen and Carr would be the forwards to go on. And they're young players. They have certain strengths. Cohen is a really good shooter. He's not afraid of taking a shot. It didn't work out for him yesterday. He got one. He missed the other two. Probably shouldn't have taken them on. James Carr, unfortunately, didn't really get involved. But that's not limited just to the subs bench. Many of the other forwards, like Ryan O'Donoghue, did well for Mayo in the first half. Killian Connor was excellent throughout, but really didn't get much anything else really out of the forwards, and that was a difficulty. I think that you're right, though. You got the feeling that Dublin were in control for most of that game, and even if Mayo had been ultra-aggressive in that 10-minute period after half-time, and I'm sure this is in the back of James Horan's mind, you always know that Dublin still probably have 50 minutes to come back after that, or 20 minutes to come back after that, and with the strength of their bench, it'd be very hard to take a 2 or 3 point lead in that area of the game and be able to hold on to it, considering you know what's coming off the bench with them. But maybe there was an opportunity to go for Broke there, and even when you have the extra man, to even put on a forward as opposed to putting on Plunkett, who is a defender and who swept for most of that 10-minute period. And it did really set the tone, and the way Dublin were able to hold on to possession, that it set the tone for the remainder of the game and somewhat demoralised, you know, Mayo, so, you know, I suppose Mayo sports maybe sitting at home watching it, and maybe it had an effect on the team. And I think he is right that some of the Mayo players, when you think of conditioning is so important in the latter stages of those big games against Dublin. Mm. And Mayo started with 5 or 6 really young lads, and you, it would have been, you know, maybe too much to expect that all 5 or 6 would have really, really good games. 2 or 3 of them did well. It didn't really work out for some of the other ones, and that probably had a role to play in this as well. Now, all those players, in my opinion, have improved dramatically over the last 5 or 6 months, and the strides that they've made have been remarkable, really. And I'm sure they can continue to go on and do that and develop over the next coming seasons, and they will learn from this experience. But it probably just, Mayo probably needed absolutely everything to be right to be able to stay in that second half.
Yeah. And that is the thing, it's such a high wire act for Mayo. They need perfection all the way through, whereas Dublin can at times drop down to fifth gear and cruise and get away with it, knowing that they'll regroup again at some stage. So a point Mark O'Shea makes today in the Mail on Sunday, and I stress, neither he nor I are saying this was the winning and losing of the game, but we're talking about the game as a whole. So he writes, David Coldrick, the referee, had 3 minutes to forget one of the most crucial stages of that match last night. Firstly, he neglected to give Johnny Cooper a black card when he committed the very foul for which the black card was brought in. A couple of minutes later, he took no action when Mick Fitzsimons took Lee Keegan out with a shoulder into the chest. It's the biggest game of the year, and you need your officials to be strong. They simply weren't strong enough last night. I mean, if this had been a closer affair, we'd be talking more about those two moments. And it's like, at the time, they seemed really off. Like, the Fitzsimons went into Keegan, bizarre, and like, Coldrick was almost waving him up as if he dived or something. You know, he's right on the scene. I couldn't understand that. Mm-hmm. Kevin McStay half made an argument that, like, oh, well, maybe there's a bit of 50-50 in the O'Shea-Cooper thing. I'm not so sure at all. Like, O'Shea maybe went down a touch easy, but, like, Cooper knows if O'Shea gets around him here, and he was getting close to getting around him, he's in on goal. And I don't know how that's not a black card under the letter of the law. It's as Mark O'Shea says, that's the exact foul that the black card was brought in for. So, look, in a game where Mayo need everything to go their way, those two big decisions really didn't, and they were strange decisions.
They were. I have to agree with Mark. I thought that he got both of those decisions wrong. Now, whether they would have had, maybe maybe if May were able to turn another, you know, another 10-minute period might have taken a bit more out of the legs of the Dublin big players going into the last 10 minutes if they had to play another period with down to 14, and that might have been a factor. I think that I can't remember the scoreline exactly at the stage when Lee Keegan got hit, but like I was luckily enough close to it, the only person standing in the hill. And to me, on first reaction, and I didn't have the benefit of replay where I was, I thought it was down the middle. I thought he got it in his chest straight away. I think it was just a bad decision. I think that generally referees in those sort of situations err on the side of it being a foul because it can be a violent hit. It can be a dangerous hit. And it's surprising that Goldrick went the opposite way. But again, I'm not so sure that I can point to the way, to those two instances and say that that was definitely going to have a bearing on the end result.
No, I'd agree.
Because Dublin were in complete control of that second half and Mayo were struggling to get scores. And even if there were another 14-minute period, you know, Dublin could have made maybe, you know, I don't know how many subs they had at that time. They could have made three subs at that time, bring on fresh legs, and that would have given them impetus again.
Yeah, I agree totally with that point. So for what, Cluxton, Fitzsimons, James McCarthy, Philly McMahon, Kevin McManaman, Michael Darren McCauley, Keane O'Sullivan, that is an eighth All-Ireland medal. So they are now up there with Ogie Moran, Pody, Ger Power, Mikey Shee, Pat Spillan. And let's be honest, they're most likely going to be nine next summer. So it's really extraordinary what's happened here. And we've talked about the whys, the money, the population. But for the group and the work that they have to do as individuals each day, it's still a phenomenal effort. You know, those macro advantages Dublin have are serious, and we will have to talk about them again. I don't think the morning after the game is necessarily the place to do it. But for that group, you know, the size of Dublin's population doesn't make it easier to get out of bed early for a gym session or for training or rehab or all that stuff. And they keep doing it. They keep coming back. And to Desi Farrell's credit, he has pretty seamlessly took over here and not broken anything that was working very, very well. So, like, they're immense, you know. I mean, I struggle at times to know is Conn or Fenton my favourite player right now. It's probably Jack McCaffrey if he ever comes back, and then Fenton. Yeah. But like, if you have to have a dominant force in GAA, like at least they're playing football that I want to watch. They're not doing it by winning games 8-9.
No. Look, it's remarkable, and you're right. The macro discussion is for another day. You have to at this stage. Just say how remarkable they are. They've just the levels they reach in terms of every aspect of the game. Every one of those players that you mentioned has improved throughout their careers. I know some of them are in the latter stages and don't play as much as they maybe would like. But the level of improvement that they make from being a 19-year-old or a 20-year-old coming into the squad and where they improve, and then their mental strength throughout that, their game management, their game intelligence, that they seem to learn year on year. And it makes it harder and harder for everyone else to be able to find a weakness in them. And this year I felt, looking at the Dublin team, I couldn't identify a weakness. And even after the game yesterday where Mayo had periods of dominance, you couldn't say that Dublin had any areas that was a weakness looking ahead to next season, because the areas that Mayo do well in the first half, Dublin came right back at them in the second half and decided, well, we're going to shut those down. We can win the 50-50 balls around the middle of the field. We can beat you in a one-on-one situation in front of your own goal and create that scoring chance that Kieran Kilkenny and that Conor Callaghan were able to do. I think there's a difference, though, between comparing them to the Kerry team in the 70s and 80s, in that Kerry team was built on those eight players, and they featured all the time. And that was just like, if you want to say that's a golden generation, if you want to call it that. Whereas this Dublin team is continuing to evolve. You know, maybe the first couple of All-Irelands were on the back of, you know, Alan Brogan maybe and Paul Flynn and players like that. I'm sure I'm missing some. Yeah. Bernard Brogan. Whereas now the leaders are the players you mentioned, Conn O'Callaghan, Kieran Kilkenny, Brian Fenton. Now the one constant that I think has a role more important than any of the others, and it's probably unfair of me to single him out instead of some of the players that you already mentioned, is Cluxton.
And are Dublin not growing to a point where they're ready for the end of Cluxton? As in that first half yesterday, like their return from their own kickouts is terrible. They kicked 12 and they lost, I don't know how many they kicked, rather. 22, Mayo won 17 of 22. So all 12 are their own. So that left Dublin kickouts with, I'm just doing the maths here, 10. Sorry, so they had 10 first half kickouts, Dublin, and lost 5 of them. So, and they still came through okay. Now I know second half had picked up, but I would wager next man in, he'll fancy his chances of you know, 50% of their first half kickouts in an All-Ireland final. You know, I wonder, have they got so strong in all these other areas that their reliance on Cluxton's kickouts isn't even what it was even 4 or 5 years ago? Are you still?
I agree with what you're saying. I suppose the point I want to make about Cluxton is that I think that Cluxton's impact over that whole period has been greater than the others.
Sorry, for sure.
He's revolutionized the position. He's been consistently outstanding. I'm sure he is a massive. I don't know him personally. I haven't spoke to any of the Dublin players about this, but I'm sure he's a massive impact in terms of the culture of the group. Yeah. But you're absolutely right on yesterday. Yesterday may have been he had probably the least amount of work to do yesterday of any game maybe he's played in an All-Ireland final. Even in that second half, I was standing behind him. Usually he gets the ball placed in 5 or 6 seconds and he's getting the ball out there quickly and he's using his geometry to get it to the right areas of the field. Yesterday he literally strolled up, placed the ball and said, I'm putting this on Brian Fenton or I'm putting this on Howard. And they won the ball for him in the second half.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt in my mind that Evan Comerford could do that.
Yeah.
So you're right that maybe while if they can put 70 minutes of dominance with Howard and with Fenton like they did in the second half yesterday consistently, well then they're going to be very, very hard to beat, even to impact on, even in those long 50-50 kickout situations.
Yeah, and I don't think he had to make a save. He can play till he's 49 if he doesn't have to make saves all that often. Jeez, Howard can't even get a game, Billy Joe. That's where we are at the moment, so it's insane. Listen, thanks many for that. I guess we'll maybe have the macro conversation, which I think has to be had increasingly down the line, but for the time being, 6 in a row for Dublin. Billy Joe Patton, thanks, Billy.
No problem, Joe.
The GAA Podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.